Hello, and welcome to Boston Private Perspectives. I'm Shannon Sakosha, Chief Investment Officer at Boston Private. We're committed to keeping our clients informed on how this evolving situation will impact you, your portfolio, or your business. In this week's edition, I'd like to talk about cash. Not the cold, hard kind necessarily, but how we think about cash and liquidity and how important it is to understand the difference between cash needs and the feeling of comfort cash provides. So let's get started. When we think about cash, whether it relates to your bank accounts or your investment portfolio or your business, we're really equating the cash need to a need for liquidity. And liquidity is essentially the measure of how long it takes for you to be able to get cash in order to pay for bills or day-to-day needs that we view as necessities. And so one of the things that we try to determine during the financial planning process is what those cash needs are, and then differentiate cash needs from cash wants. And sometimes that's difficult. Certainly for clients, whether it's something like funding a 529 account for a child or a grandchild, or being able to save for a second home or a wedding, those may feel like cash needs for many clients. But the reality is that they're generally fall into the camp of cash wants. And so, you know, those are things that could potentially be put to the side during a period of economic dislocation or an illness or another pressing need that comes up somewhere else. Those cash wants are things that could potentially be put off for an extended period of time should circumstances require that. And so during times like this, with the economic dislocation that we're seeing, with the significant volatility in the capital markets, we really do want to make sure that we're revisiting this conversation about cash needs and liquidity needs with our clients. And so this feeds in longer term to how we construct portfolios. If you think about the traditional asset allocation, it's cash and stocks, bonds, and maybe some alternative assets that you might have alongside those asset classes. But the way that those assets actually create the desired outcomes for clients that are defined within the financial planning process is through three sort of different categories, and those are liquidity, growth, and more aspirational opportunities. And so I'll focus more so in this conversation on the liquidity and growth pockets of the portfolio with an eye towards aspirational assets at the end very briefly. So as part of the financial planning process, there is a generally an allocation that comes out that's based on those more typical asset class classifications that creates a framework for advisors to utilize to build a portfolio. Embedded in that are relative opportunities for growth compared with liquidity. So if you think about it in terms of cash and fixed income, for instance, those are generally seen as being more liquid or providing additional liquidity to clients over the course of a long-term time horizon. Bonds typically produce a smaller rate of return overall because they have less capital appreciation. They provide income, which creates the return on those securities. The price fluctuation tends to be muted when compared with equity asset classes. And so bonds are typically lumped in with cash as being fairly readily available to meet near-term cash needs. If you think about it in terms of growth, that tends to be the equity portion of your portfolio. Certainly, if you think about portions of the fixed income market, such as high yield bonds, those can have a bit more of that capital appreciation aspect to the total return component. But traditionally, you design a portfolio in order to grow over time through the use of equities. And balancing that need for growth in order to allow for, again, the desired outcomes and goals of the portfolio to be met with the need for liquidity on a near-term basis is one of the most difficult challenges for an advisor anytime, but more importantly during this type of period. Because really, liquidity and cash are what afford advisors the opportunity to take advantage of dislocation. So if you think about it in terms of a fully invested portfolio, a 60-40 portfolio, for instance, where you have 60% equities and 40% fixed income, usually a portion of that 40% is, again, in true cash. So you can think about that in terms of what you might have in a deposit account with a bank or in an insured cash sweep vehicle, or perhaps in a money market fund. All of those, for all intents and purposes, are considered cash in the mind of your advisor. And having a portion of your fixed income allocation in cash allows for the opportunity to reallocate during periods of distress. So if you think about what's happened over the last couple of weeks, if you started off in a 60-40 equity to fixed income portfolio, that 60% in equities is probably lower than 60% now, given the declines that we've seen in the equity market. And your fixed income portion of your portfolio, while not necessarily appreciating to the same magnitude that we've seen the depreciation in your equity assets, that's going to be a higher percentage of your portfolio, just, you know, from a mathematical perspective. And so what cash provides us is an opportunity to easily reallocate from those fixed income positions that have outperformed, or from that cash that has held its stable value, into equities that have declined in value and therefore represent better opportunities than they did, say, at higher valuations. Certainly in the case of this year, 2020, where we started the year at modestly overvalued to potentially very overvalued, depending on the stock or industry that you're referring to. And so this is why, in our mind, it's not just about being able to have liquidity to meet direct cash needs, but also being able to treat liquidity and treat cash as an option during times of dislocation. So I've heard throughout my career in investments that, you know, cash is not an investment. Cash is the lack of an investment idea. And I think when you look at it from a holistic wealth management perspective, that's actually highly inaccurate. Having cash on hand, whether it was raised through tax loss harvesting or through the elimination of an underperforming or an outperforming asset in which the opportunity to sell it just became more compelling than holding on to it, that cash then becomes a tool in the toolkit as it relates to taking advantage of opportunities that are presented within a dislocated market. So I argue often with advisors or with other investment professionals who believe that, you know, keeping cash maybe at a slightly elevated level is evidence that you don't have a better idea. Now, when there are a lot of ideas in the market and in the universe of investments that we have access to, there are a lot of compelling opportunities, and you're in a low interest rate environment such as the one we're in now, it would seem that keeping excess cash over and above those day-to-day cash needs is probably less prudent. But in times such as this, being able to have that cash at the ready in order to reinvest in opportunities certainly makes a lot of sense. And so when we hear the term cash is king, that's not necessarily in terms of the ability of cash to garner you return on a long-term basis. Certainly we've seen periods over the past 30 years or so where if you invested in a CD or a savings account, or you invested in treasuries, you were earning an interest rate that was well in excess of what you earn today. And so for most people, there is an acknowledgement that money held in cash is likely over a long-term time horizon, given the backdrop of what we've seen from a central bank intervention standpoint, any money that's in cash is likely to underperform other asset classes over that longer term time period. So in as much as it might insulate your portfolio in the near term during periods such as the one we're experiencing now, over a long term time horizon, with the expectation that interest rates are not likely to go back to where they were historically over the last several decades, there's probably a trade-off being made for that cash. And so again, it's critical to make sure that that balance between liquidity and growth assets is always reflective of what you need from a day-to-day basis, as well as what the opportunity set in the marketplace is providing. And that is challenging. And so it's one of the things that, from an advisor perspective, is critical to continue to review with you what those cash needs are, how you're feeling about what's happening in the market. And again, there's a difference between cash needs and cash wants. Your cash wants might be slightly higher during a period such as this. You might want to have that additional margin of safety where traditionally, you know, you've kept 6 to 12 months of cash on hand for your day-to-day expenses. Perhaps you do want to extend that out to a longer period of time. There's no harm in that, as long as you understand that you're potentially foregoing some additional opportunities in the capital markets by doing that. And it's that sleep at night aspect that your advisor can help you understand, you know, what you need and what you potentially might want, and how that additional money held in cash or in your quote unquote liquidity bucket might impact longer term those goals and outcomes that you have worked through with the advisor during the financial planning process. And so, in essence, cash still remains king, even in this type of environment, because it allows you the flexibility to be able to put more money aside from a margin of safety perspective, or to potentially take advantage of opportunities presented in the capital markets. Either way, having the appropriate level of liquidity in your portfolio and being able to utilize that lever at an appropriate time is something that your advisor can help you with, both from a portfolio perspective or within your business. And we stand at the ready to continue to have those conversations with you. I want to thank you once again for joining me today. If you have any questions or thoughts on my points today, you can find me on Twitter at Shannon Sakosha. You can also read our latest perspectives as the situation evolves by visiting bostonprivate.com. And if you want all of this information delivered right to your inbox, I encourage you to sign up for our newsletters on bostonprivate.com as well. Be sure to subscribe to the Boston Private Perspectives on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, or Spotify. And check back next week for our podcast as we continue to monitor and share with you what we are seeing, hearing, and thinking in these very interesting times.
This podcast is solely for informational purposes and is not a solicitation or an offer to buy any security or instrument or to participate in any trading strategy. The opinions expressed and information contained in this podcast are given in good faith, may be subject to change without notice, and are as of the date issued. All sourced information is believed to be reliable, but has not been independently verified. This podcast discusses general market activity, industry or sector trends, or other broad-based economic, market, or political conditions, and should not be construed as personalized investment advice. The following does not represent a complete analysis of every material fact with respect to the topics covered herein. All investments carry a risk of loss. Neither BPW nor its investment professionals or representatives provide tax, accounting, or legal advice. Listeners should review any planned financial transactions or arrangements that may have tax, accounting, or legal implications with their advisors. For additional information about us, please refer to our Form ADV Disclosure Brochure, which may be obtained by contacting us at 800-422-6172 or info@bostonprivate.com. Private banking and trust services are offered through Boston Private Bank and Trust Company, a Massachusetts chartered trust company. Wealth management services are offered through Boston Private Wealth LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor and wholly owned subsidiary of Boston Private Bank and Trust Company. Boston Private Bank is an FDIC member and equal housing lender. Investments are not FDIC insured, not bank guaranteed, and may lose value.